Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Every single spring, that first day that I walk outside and I see that yellow dust all over my truck, I'm like, that is Satan's dandruff. It destroys me. I legitimately can't go outside for longer than 3 minutes because my eyes get swollen, my eyes get puffy, my nose gets congested, and I just simply can't breathe. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. When I started taking Claritin D about 2 months ago, I can finally get back outside and play pickleball again, which is what I love to do, but I couldn't do it because my allergies were so bad. Claritin D has legitimately allowed me to go outside again. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. It is Wednesday, April 4th, 2024. And you are listening to the Carlos Whitaker Podcast. Feel the groove, ladies and gents. We are at episode 14 of the Carlos Enrique Whitaker Guzman Archibald Cabello Podcast. Oh, the name's right there for you. Dr. Delight, thank you for dropping the beat. If you're watching on YouTube, I am obviously in a different location. Take a look around. I've got, I can't turn the camera, but I've got a dog sleeping over here. You can kind of see him. Oh, I wonder if I shut my laptop, you can see a little bit more. Nope, you sure can't. And then below me, I've got a dog sleeping right here. So if they happen to get up and start barking at the FedEx guy, because I don't know about you, but does the FedEx guy come to your house every single day because you have, I don't know, five adults that order things to your home all the time, like on a daily basis? So UPS, FedEx, grateful to keep you employed. So anyway, if they get up and bark, forgive me, but we're not going to cut it out because I just feel I moved upstairs. I'm in the living room because I just felt like a different vibe. Can I tell you something? The basement vibe is, it's good when I like want to get things done, get to the basement and lock myself in the dungeon. I'm fading Dr. Delight out here, but what it's not good for is my mental health. I used to be a dark winter guy. I love the winter. I love clouds. I love cold. I love snow. Something happened to me this year. I don't know what it is. My wife is still a dark winter woman. Actually, she had some friends that nicknamed her Dark and Stormy because that's what she likes. She likes dark and stormy weather. Like yesterday here in Nashville, she was actually disappointed that there wasn't more excitement in the cloud system. But whereas I used to be that way, and I still enjoy that, like there's just, like I look outside right now, it's blue skies, the dogwood is blooming in front of me, the grass is bright green. I'm just like, maybe because I turned 50, like I'm just in this new season of life where I want sunshine. I want brightness. I want green. Don't want dead leaves. I got a big dead tree that I got to cut down. I'm not going to cut it down, but maybe this is also why I record my podcast in the basement, because I could just legitimately keep looking out my window and talking about everything that's out there, but that's not what we're going to talk about today. Today, actually, I think I know what we're going to talk about, but this thing could take a turn. I want to talk about... My son is turning 18 in 3 days. And 18 years old. I've got a lot of complicated emotions around that. And I thought, well, let's uncomplicate them. And then I thought, well, he gets off work in 1 hour and 15 minutes. What if I take my little microphones, pick him up from work, and talk to him about his thoughts? And maybe compare and contrast some of my thoughts with some of his thoughts. So this is free-flowing. This is your baby transitioning into adulthood conversation. This is conversations from a parent that loves their child with everything, wants the best for them, but doesn't necessarily know if they're doing the right things for them. This is a conversation about questions I have about, you know, have I poured enough in to my son? Questions about adoption and how that part of his story is affecting who he is. Questions about, did I do enough for that? I've come to my last child entering what the world would say is adulthood at 18, which, you know, honestly, like in the, maybe in the 40s and the 50s, it felt more like adulthood than it does now. That's a whole other topic, but is my son, not is he ready? I don't think that's actually the right question. What else can I do to prepare him for the road ahead? And so I just have a lot of thoughts on it. You know, we adopted Losiah when he was 6 months old, 7 months old. And so all I've ever known, all he's ever known is really us. Adoption wasn't like a big part of our story, but it was obviously a big part of our story, but it didn't like define us, I guess. Whereas I think it's fine that some families, like that's kind of what they become. Their story is adoption. They do adoption things. It's all adoption. It just never felt like that for us. He just became part of us really quickly. And you know, we're entering into his 18th year where he's about to enter a season where he is legally able to, and I say legally because the adoption agency that we used, you know, when you do a international adoption, they have files that the adoptive or the parents that place them up for adoption don't want opened until they're adults. And so we're going to begin to receive some paperwork, now that he's 18, with more details to his past. And you know, there's no hesitation in me. Like I think it's, you know, I've got some friends that have adopted kids later in life, later in their adolescence. So like in 11 or 12 years old. And like they always, that this moment was just always part of it. You know, the birth parents and, finding family. Losiah, he never, as much as I would push that, there wasn't ever like an outward, visibly outward desire for that. Although I know obviously inside and internally, and I'm not inside of his heart, there is hope for that. There's hope for a reconnection. There's a hope for finding more of him. And as much of him as I feel like I haven't implanted in him, there is so much more that isn't me, right? Like I look at the way he reacts to situations. I look at his tenderness. I look at all of these incredible things that about him. And I think that ain't me. That is somebody else's DNA. That is generational. So like I see things about him that I am excited to find out more. And you know, also as a father, knowing that there's this moment of beginning more discovery, I know that there's the possibility of heartache in there not being answers. So, you know, we're having those conversations with him right now. We're having conversations with, you know, we may find out a lot of information about your mom and your dad. We may find out none. They may be alive. They may not be alive. We may find all your stuff about all your siblings. We may not find anything. But if there's one thing I am going to do is I'm going to walk with you every step of the way as far as you want to go. And that's kind of where we're at with him. How am I feeling with my final, not final, sounds like such a tragic thing, but the last kid in my house. Like I'm always going to call him the kids, but He's literally become turning 18 years old. And if you've been with my family for any season of life, you already, that already feels weird, right? It feels weird because Lasiah was always, he was the beautiful baby boy that joined our family. And for a lot of people, you have a hard time moving Lasiah out of cute little Lasiah into grown man Lasiah. I tell Lasiah all the time, that's a grown a man decision. That's become the thing the last year is every time I see him make a grown a man decision, you can add two crooked letters to the back of A and know what I'm saying. I'm trying to keep this for little ears. But I'll tell him, man, that's a grown a man decision. Why? Because I'm trying to encourage him every time I see him take another step, you know, into becoming a grown man, making decisions that I don't have to make for him. And that's the season that I'm in. And so I feel like launching him into adulthood, he's going to turn 18 while he's still a junior in high school at the end of his junior year. So he still has a senior year to go. He's kind of like me. I was the oldest. When I graduated from high school, I was 19, turning 20 soon. What was that right? Who knows? But ish, like we held him back because he just was a lot smaller than a lot of the kids his age. It made sense. And so I'm actually really grateful that we did. But knowing that he is the last one, I've got one daughter getting married in 53 days. Crazy. I've got another daughter who's already lived on her own for almost a year. She's moved out. They're both graduating from college. Lasiah is turning 18. I got a marriage. We got a lot of stuff happening right now. And what's cool is just how tight we still are in our family unit, like our nuclear family unit. But this is a big one. Him turning 18, even though he's a junior, I feel like I've been graced with an extra year before he flies the nest. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like for him. For both of our daughters, they lived at home for a little bit. One of them still lives at home in the college. And, you know, we have a rule that we tell our kids. When you turn 18 or you graduate from high school, you can still live at home rent-free if you're in school full-time. So, like, if you're going to school full-time, then you can still live here. If you're not, then there's some rent situation that needs to happen. That's always just kind of been how we do it, how we've done it. And it's worked out that way. So Hayla's been in college full time since she graduated from high school, and she's gonna get married and move into an apartment with her husband a couple weeks after she graduates from college. She planned that out perfectly. Sayana, on the other hand, is graduated from college 2 years early because she's an overachiever like her mother, and she may or may not move back home. If she moves back home, we'll have that conversation. But that's my. My dad's heart is like, of course she's not going to pay rent. She's welcome here anytime. And my wife's like, nope, this is what we said, so we're going to do it. Oh, man. Y'all love my Don't Stand on Issues, Walk with People shirt. And guess what? First of all, I'm bringing it back. But second of all, I do it all on Shopify. If it wasn't for Shopify, y'all wouldn't have that beautiful swag to be able to walk around and help people be kind to other people. It's all because of Shopify, and Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every single stage of your business. You may not even call it a business yet. It may just be a side hustle, kind of like it was for me for a long time, and Shopify is there for you. Or as things get more robust, Shopify can stick around all the way till you got brick and mortar stuff around you and you got clothes inside of a building. Shopify is always there. So listen, what I love about Shopify is that it not only powers what I do, but it powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States of America. 10%. That is mind-blowing kind of data right there. And this is what I want you to do. If you would love to partner with me in seeing your company grow and your shop grow, you can go right now and sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Carlos. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Carlos now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Carlos. It has been 2 weeks since I tore my calf playing pickleball. And not only do I miss pickleball, but I miss Element. The fact that I love the taste of Element so much, which I pour into my water while I'm sweating so much. I miss Element as much as I miss pickleball. What? Well, Carlos, what are you talking about? What are you pouring into your water? What is Element? Let me tell you what Element is. Element is a tasty electrolyte drink mix with everything you need and nothing that you don't. Okay. It means a lot of salt with no sugar. Now, why in the world would you need salt? Because as you're sweating, as if you could be hiking, you could be gardening, you could be pickleballing, you could be doing whatever it is that you're doing, you're losing salt in your body. It contains a science-backed electrolyte ratio of 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium with none of the junk, right? No sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, no gluten, none of that stuff. All you do is like, you rip it open, you pour it in your water bottle, and suddenly you are refilled with all the things that you lost. The one reason why I know that Element works is I was getting cramps like crazy in my thighs and my calves and all the things before I started taking it, and suddenly they're gone, like legitimately gone. So right now, Element is offering a free sample pack with any purchase. The Element sample pack includes one packet of every flavor. Okay, this is the perfect offer for anyone interested in trying all of their flavors or who wants to introduce a friend to Element. So this is how you get yours. You get yours at drinklmnt.com/Carlos Whitaker. This deal is only available through my link. You must go to drinklmnt.com/Carlos Whitaker with two T's. Element offers no question asked refunds. Try it totally risk-free. If you don't like it, share it with a salty friend and they'll give you your money back. No questions asked. You got nothing to lose. Back to my son. So what am I doing in Losai's 17th into his 18th year? You know, what are conversations that we're having? What are pain points that maybe I can help some of you with when I think of my relationship with my son and parenting my son? I have definitely taken over more of the parenting responsibilities and hard conversations with Losiah the last 2 years from Heather. Whereas Heather kind of ran all of those conversations as the kids were younger, and even in the girls' adulthood, her and Losiah just, they don't argue well with each other. And I have to balance, let me tell you where I balance as a father when I see them, if they butt heads on something, is I balance. I am first and foremost a husband to my wife and a father to my son. Therefore, I must respect the integrity of Heather's decisions when it comes to parenting, even if I may not have made the same decisions. As I travel a lot, there's decisions that are made when I'm at home, or excuse me, when I'm not home, that I think, okay, I may not have done it that way, but I'm in on it because that's the decision that was made. And so what we've realized is unpacking some of those things and looking maybe at a different angle of who Losiah is. Heather's like, you know what? Maybe there's decisions that you can make, because I'm basing these decisions based on who I know him to be, but also what I know has worked with the girls. And Losiah is different. And so I've moved into a lot more of those crucial conversations, a lot more of the decision making in repercussions and in consequences. You know, and so those have come, and it's taken a lot more out of me than I thought it would. So here I sit with my 17, almost 18 year old son, and we're doing a couple things. We're doing some things that I think may be helpful for you. When your kids turn 15, 16, 17, you know, all of the data shows that, you know, young men, older boys in their 15, 16, 17th year just mature at a slower rate than girls emotionally. And so knowing that I was one of those emotionally slower to adapt kids, I feel like we're doing a pretty good job with Losiah. What are some things that we're doing? The first thing, you know, I joked about saying, you're making grown man decisions. I'm starting to allow him. That's one of the biggest things that has really helped, is allowing him to help guide the decision-making in the consequences that will show up in his life if things aren't done. So let me give you an example. Easy examples are things that still need to be done in the home that we are in charge of the consequences, right? So like, you know, his room's still a freaking mess. Okay, so the older he gets, the smellier he gets. So like, if I'm going to walk by his room, I don't want to just smell teenage boy 24/7. So like, your decision to not clean your room affects me and my nostrils as I walk by. What grown man decisions can you make yourself, and what consequences are you going to put on yourself if the room does not stay pleasant? And I allow him at this point to come up with those. There's something about you there, and it's going to be different for all your sons and daughters, but there comes a point of contention where the rules set by the parents when they get into their later teen years are just simply seen as rules to get around or to break. They need to be involved in those things. And so I try to involve them. I try to keep him involved. So he's come up with the things that he's going to do and the consequences that'll happen if not. Now there's other consequences that, you know, I'm trying to get him to see these consequences, because there's other consequences in his life now that he's getting older. He's got a job. He has relationships with people that if he doesn't fulfill his part of being a grown A man, and listen, I know I'm going to get some, you know, the whole grown A man thing, it may feel very like bravado. You know what? It works for Losia. He is a very tender soul, but there's parts of him that need to step into a space in the relationship with his father that feels more adult-like. And I can't keep treating him like, you know, like he's nine. And so this works for us. You know, you don't have to say grown A man. You can just say, that's a great responsible decision. Okay. We can kind of skip past that now. So there's other parts of his life that his decision-making is going to bring about consequences that have nothing to do with me. So I'm trying to get him to the space where more and more of the decisions he's making in his life away from me are reaping good things as opposed to painful things. That's really it, you know? So, again, the cleaning the room thing, that there's things in the home that have to happen. He's still my son. He's going to be 18 living out. Just because you turn 18 does not suddenly mean, hey, guess what? All the rules are you're free. No, listen, you live under my roof. You're still under my authority. And so, you know, those are conversations that have already had to happen. And I let him bring it up, but you know, it's like, hey, just because you're turning 18 doesn't mean things just shift. I've tried to already start putting some of those things that he wants to shift in a slow shifting pattern as opposed to overnight. That's another thing that I recommend to parents a lot, especially as your kids are getting older, is don't have an age limit on a phone, and then you're not going to have a phone until you're 15. And then when you're 15, bam, here's your phone. Enjoy the Wild West. Of course not. You want to walk them into a lot of these things. You know, he just started driving a few months ago in his 17th year. And so, you know, I still got Life 360 up on that phone in order to see how fast he's going. I'm checking on those things. Like, those are great tools we have. But those are tools that aren't always going to be there and aren't only always going to be attached. But while he's under my roof, and even after he leaves my roof, let's look at Sayana. Sayana has lived alone. Not alone. She's got an apartment with some girlfriends here in Nashville. And I still get to have these harder conversations, parenting conversations with her, where, because I feel like we built a trustworthy relationship where she trusts my guidance when she was younger, she still trusts my guidance when she's older. And again, with her, we don't have to like worry about consequences. She has been like the self-consequence queen forever. If she does something wrong. Her own, the way she views her own heart is enough. I don't need to add anything else. I don't need to add shame. I'm trying to get rid of shame when it comes to her. But with my son, it's just different. One of the other things that we're doing is we have together as a father and son, and you can do this as a mother and a son or mother and daughter. We've decided, okay, since for him, like goals never worked for him. And to be honest with you, they kind of never worked for me. We've talked about this on the podcast, right? I think I did the non-goal getter guide, goal setter guide for 2024. Goals like are hard. And I found a book that I'm loving that it's called Atomic Habits. Let me see if I can find. I actually saw it on my mom's nightstand. Atomic Habits. Here it is. An easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones. So we started listening to a chapter a day of Atomic Habits together. And already, like, the stories that are in there, Losiah is realizing, wait a second, I think I've been doing it wrong. I've been trying to set goals. But I mean, although goals are fine, there's nothing wrong with goals. You're never going to get there unless you create habits. And so instead of even setting goals, we just started creating habits. What are things that you can change right now that are going to make your life better? Just 1 degree better. This is the conversation I'm having with Losiah. And so he made some. And these are 1 degree better. If you make your life 1 degree better, just 1 degree, over time, it's going to be mind-blowing the changes that are going to take place. Already, since we started listening to that book a week ago, I'm seeing things. I mean, the other night, he's like, hey, Dad, I'm going to bed. It was like 9:30. I was like, excuse me? And I didn't push it because I wanted this to be his thing. But I was like, he is trying to make an atomic habit. They call it atomic because atomic is small, and it's the small habits that lead to big results. So that's something that me and my son are doing together. And I think it's helping, you know, when it comes to like his faith, all I can do is be an example, pray and pour into the relationships and help guide his relationships that he's pouring into. And again, be an example by showing him the relationships I have, showing him my relationship with God and helping guide him when I see maybe he's leaning too much into a relationship that is not a healthy one for him. And again, I've only got like a year left of this. At some point, I'm not going to be able to see day to day. And so that's why it's so vital. I think that a lot of parents give up right around now. They give up right around year 16, 17, or 18. And they just shrug their shoulders going, well, I've done all I can do. No, you haven't. You get to continue parenting your kid until you can't parent them anymore because you're with your father, God the Father, right? So I'm not going to stop. You know, your tactics change, your strategies change, but the goal remains the same, to continue to help them become all God has created them to be. So this is what I want to do, actually. I want to stop my part of the conversation right now, and I'm going to leave here. I'm going to drive to Chick-fil-A. I'm going to pick up my son. Maybe I'm going to, I don't know if Heather's going to pick him up or not. We'll see. We'll see in a few minutes. And is somebody driving by my house filming? Well, that's weird. I guess that's what I get for putting my Christmas blowups for the world to see on the internet. And I'm just going to kind of unpack his thoughts on turning 18, his thoughts on what he feels would serve him best in this season from his father or his mother. Like what's going to serve him best, knowing that he knows what's best for him, but so do I. And now we're just dancing this dance of like, wow, like he probably does know this about him better than I do, but there are things about him that I still know, because I get an outside perspective, which is why there's still things that about you and myself that other people outside of you know a little bit better than even you do, and they can help guide you in that. And so here we go. We're kind of jumping into that. So let's do that. Let's take a little break for a few of our partners. And when we come back, we're going to hop into a conversation just for a few minutes with my son, Losiah, right before his 18th birthday. Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise. Y'all remember, if you're a child of the 80s or the 90s, all of the cartoon character vitamins that you used to take? Yeah, you're basically eating M&Ms. Not no more. Hiya. Hiya is the pediatrician approved super powered chewable vitamins. Now, while most children's vitamins are filled with, get this, 5 grams of sugar, and of course that sugar contributes to all sorts of health problems, Hiya is made with zero sugar or gummy junk. It's formulated with the help of nutritional experts. Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals that your growing kids need. It is non-GMO, it's vegan, it's dairy-free, it's allergy-free, it's gelatin-free, it's all the things free that you don't want your kids to be eating, okay? Hiya is designed for kids of all ages, and the cool thing is it's sent straight to your door, so you don't have to like remember it on your shopping list. It just comes to you. I love Hiya vitamins, and I think you will too. So we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. That's a lot. To claim this deal, head to HiyaHealth.com/humanhope. This deal is not available on the regular website. Go to HiyaHealth.com/humanhope and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. So if you do that math, that is a lot of indoor breathing. What in the world are we breathing when we're inside? Well, let me tell you some bad news. The indoor air we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air. That's horrible. So what in the world are we going to do? I got you a solution. Introducing an air purifier that captured the attention of the country. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so that your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, hello springtime in Nashville, Tennessee, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, and even bacteria. Now we're talking about things that'll get you sick, okay? Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Here's the deal that we have for you. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code HUMANHOPE. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers exclusively to podcast listeners, okay? You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer in by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code HUMANHOPE. Hey, Lo.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, man. So how many days until you turn 18?
Is it Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Three?
Three. 18. So, does that make you, how does that make you feel? Does it make you feel like you're 18, so the government says you're an adult? What does that make you feel like?
I don't know. I don't necessarily like it.
You don't?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
No, yeah, let's dig into that. What don't you like about, oh my gosh, turning 18? Like, what is that?
I don't really want to be 18.
Oh, okay. Yeah, why? What comes with being 18?
Responsibility, and I'm not ready for that.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay.
Or I guess I can be, but I like freedom. Like, I don't know. I just like not having responsibility, I guess.
Yes, this is great. This is actually so true. And luckily for you, since we held you back a year when you were in preschool or whenever that was.
I didn't get held back. I just started school.
Yeah, or since we started you later, you get to be 18 for an entire year of high school.
Yeah.
So like, it's not like you're 18 and we kick you out the house. So you are lucky that you've got a whole extra year of just chilling and eating my food.
My mom's food.
Mom's food. Yeah. One of the things that I was talking about, before I went to pick you up at Chick-fil-A was like, these are parents, you know, a lot of these people that are listening are parents of
12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, and maybe younger than that, but they will at some point have a 17-year-old that's about to be an adult. And so I was like, I kind of gave them like, these are some things that I feel like it's good for parents to do to transition their kids into adulthood, right? So like I'm trying to, I keep saying that you're, every time you do something like super responsible, I go, that's a grown A man decision.
Yep.
What do you feel like would be important to tell, you know, to tell parents as their kids get older, like how, what are things you see that we do well or that you think we, you know, you wish we would do? Cause we still got room to improve as you're getting older.
You feel like our parents are very, I don't know, you guys are very like, very freeing, but not in like a dangerous way. Not where like you just let me do whatever I want. Like, I don't really have a time. Like, I've never really had a bedtime or anything. Sure. I've never really like.
In your teenage years.
In my teenage years. Late teenage. Yes. I had a bedtime.
You're like 5 years old. It's like, yo, we're going to bed low. Take care. Get you the snacks are in the fridge.
No, like since I've been a teenager, I've just, yeah. Which has allowed me to learn that like staying up super late isn't the best. Like you get more time to yourself and everything, but you don't get as much sleep, which isn't good. And like all this stuff. So I learned that. And and that's just because they didn't force that on me or whatever. Yeah. And that's like that with everything. Like that's that with everything. Like, so I feel like that's something that you guys do great.
Yeah. What do you feel like? No, that is good. That actually is really good. What do you feel like? Answer this question. I'll base off of that. So say there's a parent that's like, okay, so I've got a 16-year-old son, daughter. They want to stay up later. I know what they're like when I have to wake them up at 6:30 so they can get on the bus, so they can go, but they're staying up till like, I know that they need to go to bed, but I want to give them freedom, but I also am their parent. Like how should they approach those conversations with their teenager?
What's up my school? My mom let me set up like my own system of my school and everything, and it went terribly. Like it went terribly. Like it just was absolutely terrible. Like I tried and it just failed, and I just was like, it was terrible. So like I said, I realized that was terrible, and then I let mom, like you almost have to let them fail. Yeah, like if they want to stay up later, so you let them sit up later, and then the next morning they're all grouchy and everything, let them be grouchy for like a week, and then after that week be like, how was that week?
Proof is in the pudding.
And then they're like, how was every morning, like how's your week been? And they're gonna say terrible, or they're not gonna say, it was probably not very good, they energy is gonna be low for the whole day, they're not gonna be focused and all this stuff. So just like let it be for a week or so, or just like it can be a month, it can be just a day, but
letting them be part,
letting them see how their way goes. Yeah. And if their way most likely is not going to be the best, obviously, but if they think it is, let them think that and then have them figure out themselves instead of your parent being like, that's not good right away. And like, you've been
this
like,
is the new thing.
I mean, like, why? Like, my biggest thing is like, I have to know why. Like, and I've gotten better at like just letting things go and everything, but usually with everything, I have to know why. It's just like always been a thing, but
that's good.
Yeah. So like, just let them.
That's good. Let them be part of the decision making. Let them make the plan. If they obviously, like, as a parent, you're going to have to
have boundaries.
Protect your kids.
Yes.
You know, like, you can't just let them make every decision.
Have boundaries, like be small things, like staying up a little bit later, like have them, don't let them be like stay up as long as they want. Have them set the time, like all right, what time are you going to bed then? Mm-hmm. And then you then can tell them to go to bed at that time. And mom would do this to me. She would be like, hey, what time are you going to go to bed? I would say a time, and then I would want to stay up later, and then I would get mad at mom, and then all this stuff, which means it was a bad plan on my part because I should have said a later time.
Well, this is almost 18-year-old Josiah talking to 15-year-old Isaiah.
Oh yes. Yeah. I'm just talking to just my past selves and like basically what I wish I didn't do.
Yeah. No, that's good.
And my decision making. Yeah. So if you're a teenager watching this, just this is good knowledge.
No, this is great. No, this is great. This is great stuff. I want to go to something you said earlier. Because I think it'd be good for you to unpack it, you know, and we can leave it on the podcast or not. But when you were like, I don't necessarily like the fact that I'm turning 18 because there's a lot of responsibilities that I don't necessarily want to have yet. When do you think you will feel ready for?
I feel like I never feel ready. Uh-huh. Like, I feel like it's just a step I need to take.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't necessarily feel like I will ever feel fully ready. Like,
right.
There'll always be times where I feel more comfortable with situations,
yep.
But I'll never feel ready. Like,
yeah, sure. I mean, at the end of the day, like if you got a free ride, why in the world are you going to have to pay for one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why, you know, you do see a lot of, there is a generation of, I think whatever your generation is, that is a little older than you, that are, you know, 25 and still living at their parents' house because they just haven't, you know. And so it's like, as much as for a parent, this is where me and mom are different, right? Or as much as like, if it was just me and mom wasn't involved, you, Sohail, and Sayana could live here until you're 45 years old. And like, you know, but like, that's my phallus. That's like my, whereas mom's like, no, like they need to either be in school full time or paying rent in some way, shape, or form. To me, I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know, like, and so, but we find this middle ground of like, it probably is good, you know, for you to, like you said, you're never going to feel ready.
Well, here's a great part about you and mom.
Yeah.
Is you will just give me freedom, this and that. You'll do all this stuff. But mom doesn't give me, well, I won't say any freedom, sure, but doesn't give me
the same kind
as you do. It's like a big difference. And so when those clash, it creates a balance that like I'm getting freedom, but not too much. It's like,
Okay. So with that, this is great. What are the benefits? Cause you've got different people that are listening to this right now, different kinds of parents. You've got parents like me that are like, I can stay up till 12:30 with me playing FIFA, you know, eating ice cream. And then you got parents that are like, well, no, that's not healthy. That's not, you know. And so what are the benefits you see of my style of what I do in my parenting and mom's style of what she does?
For mom, mm-hmm, is you're going to have, if you listen to her mentally, you're not going to have, you're going to be struggling. I feel like mentally it's going to be hard, but physically, you're going to be great. You're mm-hmm going to be, yeah, I feel like physically you're going to be really good. Like you're going to be straight. You're going to be like,
because what she's saying is harder to hear.
So mentally it's going to be hard to hear. And you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Obviously, but it's obviously the right thing.
Yeah.
It's better. And yeah, it's obviously better. So like, but because she's making the right decisions for you, because the difference is, with your type of things, you're making the decisions, like, of what you do. With moms, she's making half the decisions for you. So it's just like a completely different, like, yeah, it just depends on how you look at it. Like, if you're the kid and you are fine with that, and you just, like, go with the flow or whatever, then that's great. But if you're not, then you'd be like me, and I feel like you'd just be mad at your mom, and then later on be like, okay, that was the right decision. I should go apologize. Like, it's just like things like that. Like,
yeah.
So I feel like that's the benefits of with mom. Like, it's just like the problem with it though is like, I feel like if it was just mom parenting me, I don't know. I feel like it would just be a lot different.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, I feel like I wouldn't talk to her as much because she's making all the decisions for me. So, I wouldn't talk to her as much based on that, like the fact that like she's more of a boss than a mom.
Oh.
But what you've done is you softened her a lot to where like now we are able to have conversations and we are like super close because of it. And
you and mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we both grown in like ways of like, she's not as controlling in those ways anymore. So it's like, It's great. Or strict. Yeah. Yes. That's strict a is word. A better word. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Strict. You're not as strict anymore.
Yeah. And so, and the balance, I think, of, the balance of, you know, and which, you know, obviously if you're a single parent household and you're listening to this, that there's not going to be as easy of ways to balance your parenting with someone else's, right? Like if you're right, if it was just mom, but you do have me, right? And actually, it's funny that you're talking about this because I talked about this on the podcast, on the intro before I interviewed. I was like, I have stepped more into the parenting the last 3 years than I ever had before. Like before I was like, you know, I was, I loved you. I was your dad. I would like, you know, I wasn't as involved in parenting as I am now. And it's because, you know, you and mom, the way you approach problems or arguments used to be a lot more volatile than it is now.
Yeah.
What would you say? So someone's listening is like, oh my gosh, like my kid and I fight nonstop.
Yeah. It's exactly how me and mom are.
You were like, we fight nonstop. Now that you're almost 18 and I've seen you come on the other side, give them some encouragement that it's not always going to be this way.
Yeah. It's what really helped is having people to talk to. Just like have someone to rant to. And
You're talking about the kids or the parents?
The kid. Oh, okay. So the kid can just have, and the parent too. Yeah, sure. The parent needs someone to talk to too. Or else that same feeling that the parent feels and the kid about like that anger and everything that builds up in you. It's like you feel that too. Like it comes on both sides. Like, so in order to, like, you need to release that anger, but if you release it on each other, it's just going to build more and more. So what you need to do is find someone you can talk to and it just release the situation because anger builds and builds. And there's only one way that can go away, either by like prayer, like that's one, or by releasing it. And if you release it to someone else who's also angry, it's just going to build that anger because they're going to release the same anger back. And next thing you know, we're at a volatile argument where you're both screaming at each other and you're not going to get anywhere. So if you talk to someone, it literally changes everything and you're able to come back and come to your senses. Cause when I was angry, I would say all this nonsense and go on and on. And then I would go to bed that night and be like, what did I just say? Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so dumb. Like, why did I say all those things?
You would
like,
think that when you
yes,
go to bed.
Yes.
Because some parents don't think that their kids are even thinking about that.
Oh yeah. No, I was like, why would I even say that? Like, that's not even true. Like,
wow. Who would you talk to? Who were your safe places that you?
You were one of them. Uh-huh. You were the big, like, person I would go to. Like, you would sit down on my bed and I would just tell you everything. Yeah. And it just made me feel better. And I would talk nonsense to you too.
Sure.
Like, and cause I was letting out my anger. Mm. So I was letting out all the same, well, not anger, just feelings. Yeah. I was letting out the same feelings to you that I would towards mom. But what you did is you just took it in. Mm. And so instead of my anger growing, it just lessened. Yeah. Therefore, I came back to my senses, obviously, like I was saying, like, just came back to my senses and realized how to apologize. I just would apologize to mom. And she would apologize back too, because she would, by then, you would have talked to her. And so you were like the middle ground.
The middle man.
The smaller side of that, there were things that, like, were still there that, obviously, I can't go to you with everything.
Right, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can't go to one person for everything. Like, you obviously can, but I don't know. Part of me, at least, felt like I couldn't go to dad for everything. Like,
well, that's healthy that you have people besides your parents to go to.
Yeah, yeah. So I would go to, like, my youth pastor. Mm-hmm. I would go to close friends. I would go to just, And that's, I feel like, one of the bigger things. And it just takes time to realize that.
Sure, for a 15-year-old.
Yeah, for a 15-year-old to realize that your parent is right most of the time. Like, there are times where they're not, but you just have to let that go. Mm. Like, even if you're right, just let it go. Like, and that's what my sisters actually taught me to let go, just not to argue all the time. Like, even if you're the one that's right, mm-hmm. it's not worth, it's not worth the fight. Yeah. Like, it's just going to cause more, like, both people think they're right. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to go anywhere. So I don't know.
That's good. No, that I hear you saying for the parent that's like, is this ever going to end? Make sure your kids have someone else to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, they may not have a sibling. They may not have another parent.
It could be counseling.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah. Counseling's great.
Yeah, you did like, that too.
It's there for a reason. I did counseling for many years.
Yeah.
And it helped me. Yeah. I mean, for not because I argue with mom.
No, but just everything. I mean, all the girls were in counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't go through something terrible.
Right.
Just because it was someone to talk to.
Yeah.
That literally was it.
That's so good.
And for me, what helped too is like camp.
Mm.
Like camp was huge. Yes. There, no one knew about my life there.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was just a new person because I was like, I feel like the people like that I would talk to knew that I argued with mom and knew that like it was just a bad, just we weren't the closest, but at camp, no one knew about that. Mm. So it's not like people were like no one ever, like they would never look down at me or looked bad at me, but they didn't know that. So at camp, so it was like, just a whole fresh thing that like these people know nothing about me.
Yeah.
I can start new and make new friends.
Ooh, that's a word.
All that stuff.
That's a word.
So
give your kids a safe place outside of people that may know everything about them. Give them a space where people may not even know and they can be new. That whole new thing.
Yeah. Just cool. Just a refresh.
Yeah.
And it helped me. So, and it just takes time to realize, like you just have to realize yourself that like, and if you're the parent, like obviously you don't want to yell at your kid. Like I feel like that's every parent doesn't want to yell at the kid, but if they're yelling at you, like you're not just going to stand there and then like let your kid yell at them. Like that's, you wouldn't like,
right.
Don't let them yell at you, but also don't get mad at them. They're growing.
Sure.
So have like compassion on them of like, they're just, and know that it's just like, I always tell this to myself with anything, like with my friends or anything, if they're ever in a weird mood, I always just say, it's just, they're in a phase.
Yeah.
Like they're just in a phase. Like let this play out for a couple weeks and then, or even months. It could be months. Yeah. For me, it was years. So, or it was like 2 years.
Most teenage guys are years.
Yes. So, but like, let it play out and eventually they'll come to their senses.
Yeah.
Like,
they'll come back.
Yeah.
It's hopeful.
Yeah. No, it's, I feel like every parent has that fear. Are they always going to be like this? Like, no.
Yeah.
They're not. Like, if you love them.
Yeah.
And they know that you love them, then they're going to come back.
Yeah.
If you make it known that like, you hate them, then no, they're not like, they're not going to like, they're going to present you too. Like,
well, and, you know, thinking about mom's version of parenting, she's more strict versus mine. Like the hard conversations we've had to have is, Lo, I've tried this for a year and I've done it my way and it's not working. Right. And so like the problems with my, I think the, you know, people can hear a conversation like this and think, oh, well, then I just need to be less strict. Well, it's like that has its problems too.
Yeah.
You know,
being less strict has its own problem because then they start, I started just not like, because I was like, I would do something and then they wouldn't do anything about it. Yeah. So I was like, oh, they're just not, I'm just able to do anything. So then I would just, it was just terrible because I was just like starting to like, sneak around my parents because I knew the rules. Like we still had the same rules, but I just noticed that they weren't
being enforced,
enforcing the rules as much. Yeah. And so I would just find ways to sneak around the rules. And that's, so being less strict isn't better either because it's like, then they like are trying to break the rules. Yeah. So it's like, you need to build new rules, sit down with them, build new rules. Hear both sides of those ends, like ask them, be like, if you're the parent, be like, what do you think we need to change about technology? Like something like that.
Or, so I'm hearing keep shifting and growing the rules.
Yes. Cause as your kid shifts, the rules need to change.
Yes. That's good.
Like once your kid starts driving, you can't still keep them at home. Like you can't let, like once they start driving, you got to let them drive. eventually. Like for me, it took mom a while to finally trust me driving. And now we're at the point where she obviously doesn't fully, like, she's not going to like.
Oh, yeah, you're still learning.
Yeah, I'm still learning. So, as everyone is, I feel like there's always something new to learn about anything.
Yeah.
So, but she's letting me constantly go to the store now and like all these things. Like as before, she wouldn't even let me like drive around the neighborhood if I wanted to real quick.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, I don't think like I would either.
So,
but now you're right. You're to the point now where it's slowly built. Trust is slowly built with everything, you know, and I think that's I think that's good. I think that's important.
Yeah. Just build new rules and set new boundaries.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I love you.
You too.
By the time everyone listens to this, is your birthday Friday or Saturday? Saturday. Oh, no. Never mind.
Everyone will be listening.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll, if you listen to this and it's April 6th or later, tell us a happy birthday. And you'll be a legal adult man. I apologize, but that's just kind of the life you've been given. So.
It's okay.
You get to vote?
I do.
Yeah, you get to vote.
Which is weird.
So, that is weird.
Weird,
so. Okay, well, I've got to hop on another call. I love you.
Love you too.
Happy birthday.
So I'm going to actually end this podcast without even knowing what the conversation was like with my son. So hopefully it helped me as well as helping you when it comes to looking at your kids as they are developing into who God has created them to be. And maybe it'll help myself and yourself think about how we're parenting this stage, maybe even a little bit differently. So thank you, Losiah, for hopping into the conversations with me, even though you don't even know at the point I'm speaking into the microphone that you're going to do that, but you are. And everyone just heard what you had to say. So I'm thanking you already for that. Hey, Carlos Whitaker Podcast Familia, let's drop a little Dr. Delight, please. Oh, yeah. This is what I need you to do. I need you to continue to tell your friends and tell your family. If this is helpful for you, if this is helpful for you and you've got somebody that has a 15, 16, 17 year old about to enter into adulthood and you feel like this conversation was helpful from my perspective or my son's perspective, if you've got a friend that has a kid that's adopted and you feel like they could listen to this conversation, you could help them too. Please, the way that this podcast grows is if you share it. It's so helpful. So thank you so much for listening every week. Please subscribe to the podcast. Follow the podcast. If you're on YouTube, hit subscribe. You're going to get vlogs on YouTube and other content as well as the podcast. You get more stuff on YouTube than if you're just listening. So make sure you hit subscribe on YouTube as well. Thank you so much for letting me hang out for another week. We are only 50 something days away from my daughter's wedding. We got some more Father of the Bride episodes coming up. Maybe DM me. Let me know who you want me to have a conversation with. Maybe I should have a conversation with the mother of the groom. That'd be interesting. Okay, fam. Love you. See you next time on the Carlos Whitaker Podcast.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.